Welcome to Under the Sheets with Tatiana Ashbourne and friends, brought to you by Dirty Talk. I'm Tatiana Ashbourne and this is Gail, and we're in Fiji, which is really cool.
It's very cool.
Welcome to Under the Sheets with me, Tatiana Ashbourne, and all my friends.
And I'm in Fiji.
Under the Sheets with Tatiana Ashbourne and friends. Thank you so much for wanting to do this. Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Currently, we're in a homestay, so this is the bed that you've been sleeping on.
It is.
Is there anything that you've brought with you from home that makes your bedroom that you take everywhere with you?
Oh, wow. Actually, I don't know.
Like, is there something that you don't go without that you're pleased that you have on you?
Other than
really?
My phone, no. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, no, don't blame me, I'm the same. Yeah, it's when the phone goes missing is the problem.
Exactly. Everything is in there.
Yeah. What does love mean to you?
Wow. You know what? Love could be, to me, love has become something very different. It used to be much more an outward thing where it was that connection with other people.
Yeah.
Love has become something that is about myself and that love of myself, because outward love wasn't always very kind to me.
Okay.
And so really learn to kind of bring that love into me, and then I have more to be able to give to others.
That's amazing. And when did you first realize what love was? Like, what was your first memory of love?
Well, I mean, I could go back to childhood just feeling loved, right?
Okay.
I mean, my parents, I had, for the most part, a pretty good childhood, and, you know, had lots of fun and had lots of love and care around me. So as a child, I would say for the most part, I felt loved. Teenager, maybe not so much.
Okay.
Like, a little more interested in my, a little bit of revolt, or, revolt with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't feel quite as loved then, but
that
was generally me kind of fighting everything, right?
Yeah. And you're a mother.
I am.
Of how many children?
Two kids.
Yeah. How's that been?
You know what? It's interesting, because when I was younger, I did not want to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that children were evil little rugrats, because I would see the kids taking temper tantrums in the stores, and I did not want that. And as soon as my first, I'm going to cry, as soon as my first child was born, it was just such a huge shift. And just to feel that love and that connection through having a child was absolutely incredible. And going through the years, I mean, there was definitely times where, you know, I've always loved my children, but I didn't always like my children, and have gone through stages of that. They're now 26 and 28, so it's a really actual beautiful age where we can communicate in a whole different way now.
Yeah. And what, what do you think is the biggest misconception of becoming a mother? Or, like, what do you think is the most challenging part of being one?
Honestly, the most challenging part of being a mom is probably when you realize that your kids have different ideas for what they want to do in their life than you do. Because, you know, you have, as a mom, I had a vision of what my kids' life could be like and how I could help them and support them and growing them in all of those different areas. And then when they had their own independent ideas that were different, it was really, I had to let go of that was their life and that it was something that they needed to do and be able to support what they loved rather than what I thought they should do.
That's amazing. And how do you feel with solo traveling, being away from your children and being away from the comfort of home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously you say that you want to get away from the winter of Canada, but how, like, do you do it every year? What made you start doing it?
So I have had, this is my fourth winter traveling, and it started with a shorter amount of time, but I am now up to 3 months traveling. And honestly, last year when my time was up, I was in Thailand.
Yeah.
I was not ready to come home.
Wow.
I could have stayed longer. With technology now and being able to do video calls, my kids are old enough now, they don't need me around. They have a partners, they have jobs, they have school, they have all of their other things going on in their life. So me being right there beside them isn't necessary anymore. So it's a great time for me to actually be able to find out who I am again as a woman, and not just as a mom or just as a partner or as a wife, to figure out what it is that really makes me smile.
Yeah, and what is that?
The ocean.
Oh, yeah.
The ocean. I love snorkeling and swimming, and being able to get up when I want to, being able to, you know, find something, you know, go on a walk on a trail. And if I see a flower, if I see something that I want to sit down and just chill out by that for a little bit, and just to be able to enjoy nature and enjoy the sun and, you know.
Yeah, definitely. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You were telling me about your new business that you've been starting.
Yes.
Can you talk to me and the audience about it all? You go for it. I was going to start, but no, you know it. So
it's a program called Glow Up and Love Yourself. And it is a program that was born from pain. And 6.5 years ago, I lost my husband to suicide after finding out about his infidelity. And it was a life-crushing experience, I would say, would be an understatement, and I went through a really, really difficult time. So this program is to help women who have gone through either experiences like this or have just, life has just knocked them around a little bit, and they've lost that glow, they've lost that joy, they've lost that spark of who they are, and they want to be able to reclaim their identity and bring back that fun in their life again.
That's so incredible. And so what will the business be doing? Like, are you talking to other women like-minded, or are you doing activities, or
It's going to start with a 7-day challenge, so it's going to be an online platform where people will sign up, and it's going to be free so that it's available to anyone. And we'll just do, every day we'll do about a 30-minute conversation, and then the women will be given a challenge, a glow-up challenge of something that they're going to do that might be a little bit out of their comfort zone, but it'll be an easy step to be able to start working towards those things that bring joy back to their life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And at what point did you realize that you needed to grow? I don't know if it's the right word, but at what point did you realize you need to do something to fix you in this, like, deep depression, let's say, of suicide? You know, at what point did it, made you realize that you need to do something about it and change your way of thinking?
There was a few times. One of the times when I was laying in bed and there was a glass of water on the stand across the room, and I looked at it all day. I mean, literally all day, and I was thirsty, and I could not get myself to get out of bed, to walk across the room to get the glass of water, to drink the water. It's like, I'm in trouble here. And they say the year of first is really the most difficult. And so the first birthday without him, the first wedding anniversary, the first, you're going to cry again.
That's good though.
And I think at the anniversary of his death, it was when I realized, it's like, wake the fuck, Gail. This is your life. And nobody's coming to save me. And if I don't stand up and do something, I will just, this will be my life. And I couldn't accept that. I couldn't accept that I was going to be in this dark place because of somebody else's actions. And that I needed to figure out what my next steps were to come back.
Yeah.
And to be me again. But honestly, this is an even better version of me, because I'm also looking at it with self-compassion and growth and all of the other different things to really enhance my life and to be able to support other women as
Well. And is there any advice that you would give to anyone that is struggling with a partner's death?
I think the biggest thing is, a lot of people want you to not be sad, and people are uncomfortable with you being sad around them. Don't worry about anybody else and what their comfort level is. If you're sad, be sad. If you're angry, be angry. Because what happens is, women were taught to stuff it down and ignore it and push it aside, and it is probably the most damaging thing that we could do, because that'll fester in our body as disease, as mental illness, as all of these different things. So for me, when those emotions come up, and triggers still happen, I still have days where, you know, they're not great days, but I allowed myself to feel whatever it is. And then I've just learned strategies on how to dust myself off and get up and get up a little faster. But to not beat yourself up if you're having those hard times, to allow that. The grief process is a crazy one. and it's not kind. It's not a straight line, and it doesn't follow any book that you can read. There's your own version is going to be your own version, right?
Definitely. So. That was amazing. Thank you for sharing that as well. And was there ever a part during your whole entire life that you thought that love just wasn't for you and it wasn't working?
Yes. Well, I had more than one partner that was unfaithful and, you know, at one point vowed to be single forever. But for me, I also love that connection and I am a very trusting person. And so eventually when I stopped being angry, and that really, I think that was the biggest thing, when I stopped being angry and when I stopped pointing the finger at what those people were doing and what those, you know, people did to me and realized, no, this is my life. I need to sort it out. And, you know, how I look at a situation changes everything. My perspective can change everything.
Yeah.
And so deciding what I wanted my perspective to be and then working really hard to get there because it's not always easy.
No, definitely not. And what do you hope for in the future when it comes to love? You're supposedly, you've got a new partner now and it's going so well, which I'm really pleased to hear.
Yes.
But is there a point that you still feel like you... There's obviously always going to be a challenge, right? Especially with what you've been through in the past.
Right.
What do you look out for when finding a future partner? And what do you... Because obviously if you have battled with infidelity in the past, what is it that you look out for now?
And you know, it's interesting. I am a very trusting person. Mm-hmm. So for me, having open conversations, being able to have those hard, difficult conversations with somebody and not have resistance and be able to share what I need to share and have somebody that's accepting. And my boyfriend Jody is absolutely incredible and allows me to be able to have days where if an anniversary comes up and I'm sad that day, it's okay. It doesn't bother him. So to have somebody that can be loving and accepting of the things that I'm going through so that I don't have to hide that. Mm-hmm. Because to me, again, when we start to hide those feelings and push them down, whether it's to try and hide it from ourselves or hide it from other people, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So.
No, definitely not. It's good to grow. Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today. I really, really appreciate it. And best of luck with all your rest of the travels.
And best of luck to everything.
Thank you very much. If you would like to be a part of the show, please check out our website at www.dirtytalkofficial.com. We welcome all sexualities regardless of your sexual experience. If you would like to be an audience member only, please get in touch the same way. Like and subscribe on all social media platforms.